This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. As we talked about a little bit, all right, more than a little bit, up at the top of the program, you can talk trade policy until the cows come home, but it's where that policy meets the actual economy that you get to an understanding of how much it really matters. We've been doing a survey of one of the key parts of the American trade economy this week, manufacturing. Three slices of how we make things in this country today. We've done textiles, denim in particular, and a company that's had to reinvent itself as the trade economy changed around it. We've done iron, literally an iron foundry, where some of the new changes to American trade policy are more than welcome. And today, a company that makes, well, it makes a whole lot of stuff. We are in Columbus, Georgia once again.
John Anker.
How are you, John?
Thanks for coming.
Where John Anker started Anker Pack in 2004. He'd been a salesman, and you can tell he was good at it in that salesman kind of way, but he wanted to run his own business. Originally, he was doing full-service packaging, literally wrapping up products that other companies had made, getting them in boxes or onto shipping pallets, and getting them on their way. And then he saw his chance.
One of my first customers I ever had was closing a plant and offshoring it to China. And I ran to him and I said, "Wait, why are you going to China? Can I do that?" And they said, "John, we're moving all our manufacturing. All you're doing is packaging for us." And ended up they came back and gave me an opportunity to keep some of the manufacturing here as opposed to moving it as I originally planned.
So you went from packing to manufacturing. What was that first manufacturing gig you had?
It was a really hard one, and it was manufacturing bobby pins.
Bobby pins like you put in your hair?
Yeah. Taking steel wire, flatten it. Then we had to paint it, and then the third step was putting it on a bobby pin forming machine and forming the pin and automatically carding it.
And you made all the investment in capital equipment and worker training and all of that.
So it was a partnership in its truest sense. They already owned the equipment. They were moving it and closing it down, moving it to China. So their choice was, number one, send it to China like they planned on. Just move the equipment to China. China had the labor. They had the supply side, and Goody Products had the demand side. And so we picked up their equipment and gave them a second option. That was outsource it to an American company at the same price as an overseas provider. I mean the same price.
Show me around a little bit.
Anker competes on flexibility more than it does on price. He is profitable, maybe not as profitable as others might be, but he hustles. Anker Pack has three facilities, all of them in Columbus, about 240,000 square feet total. The one we're in now is where the manufacturing happens. All kinds of manufacturing, too. Composite fabrics, commercial refrigerator compressors, a kind of backing for rugs known as monk's cloth, and so much more.
Ooh, man. So what is that? What does that smell? Is that like oil and something, right? What is that?
Well, so we were running bobby pins, and we had another opportunity. I'm going out trying to find ways to manufacture large volume of small widgets, and I found another company that was closing down in Tennessee, and they were moving this whole factory to Mexico.
What were they making?
They were making pencils and pens and erasers, all kinds of office products.
Wow.
So the smell that you asked about is we're heating up. We've got ovens. We're cooking stuff in ovens, and we've got it in that room in the back, and but you can smell it cooking.
That's great. Now, what are these guys making over here?
So we're making a special marker. This company was closing down in Lewisburg, and we ran to them and said, "What can we do for you?"
So is that your business model? What can we do for you? You're going to send this overseas. What can we do for you?
Absolutely. I tell people I'm like the old Life commercial. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. And Mikey likes it. They were closing this whole factory down and moving to Mexico. And when I ran in there and said, "What can I do?" They said, "John, it's all been slated. Here's the plant layout in Mexico. Here's where these machines are going." I left and I came back home, and they called me 2 weeks later and said, "You know what? We've been thinking about it. We might give you an opportunity to quote on some of this stuff that might be suited to keep here in America."
This is going to sound worse than I mean it to sound, but you almost don't care what you're making, so long as you're making something here in Columbus, Georgia.
That's right. I'm not real picky. I've said it many times. It takes 100 pennies to make a dollar, and all I want to do is make one penny at a time. I'd like to make a dollar at a time, but if it takes 100 pennies, I'll do it that way too.
Oh, wait, I know what those are. Those are those little markers that you peel back the string in the wrapper and you peel off the like the paper sort of coating or whatever it is, right?
That's right.
It's like a grease pencil or something.
That's exactly what it is.
Which is what we used to use when we were editing radio on quarter-inch tape.
So these are some of our finished products.
Oh, yeah, there you go. They're all packed and ready to go. Sharpie Pro, China marker. Why are you here in Columbus? Just because you're from Columbus?
It's a town I call home now. I tell you, there's a lot of good things about being in this town. We're an old mill town. Since the NAFTA came into effect, just the textile industry alone has lost over 2.5 million jobs, direct jobs, not counting the ripple effect.
Are you worried, by the way, about NAFTA or TPP or the trade tariffs or any of that stuff that you hear in the economic headlines right now?
I'm only mostly worried about our country if we continue on the same path.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, as it relates to NAFTA, my workers would like to make more money. I would like to make more money. I'm competing, and I don't mind competing on a global market. But I want it to be apples to apples. So I'm worried that if we don't modify or put some more bigger walls up on NAFTA, it's going to continue to be a slow bleed long term, that we won't ever be able to continue the trend as a world-class leader and economic leader.
John Anker's a big part of the local economy here in Columbus. He provides something like 70 entry-level manufacturing jobs, and he does it really by recognizing his place in the global economy.
Well, so let me ask you this. Do you think the future, with all respect to what you're doing here, right, is this the future of American manufacturing?
Well, we hear a lot of rhetoric about high-tech, high-paying jobs. It's not rhetoric. It is what we want as a country. I like it. I didn't mean to say rhetoric. I love those jobs, but I feel like my gift is to help lift people up to put them in those jobs. Now, there's other people that are out there now that are working at these high-tech jobs that have now bought a house and a car. They're married with children, and they came right here from Anchor Pack on minimum wage is where they started. There's too many people falling through the cracks. I used to say, you know, our school system is a Jeffersonian system. We're scraping the gems from the rubble. That's the way it started, and that's still the kind of way it is. You got to fit into this mold of graduating in 12 years, or you're just no good. Or you got to go to college, or you're just no good. If you got a lot of rubble and you put it down on a dirt road, you can build a really nice highway. Well, I'm kind of proud of Anchor Pack. We're building a highway, and we've got a wonderful culture of family here.
So what I hear you saying is you want these jobs to be worth something.
I want them to be worth something.
The machine operator making the grease pencil jobs, right?
That's exactly right. It's a stepping stone. I can tell you time after time, people that we've lifted up, and today they've gone on and they're doing high-tech manufacturing, and I'm proud of that. That's my mission. And I think we ought to be doing more of this right here in America.
I said on Tuesday when we started this series that manufacturing is worth about 12.5 million jobs in this economy. Between Anchor Pack and the Boyd brothers at Golden's Foundry and Monty Galbraith making textiles, we've accounted for, about 350 of them this week? We'll call it a non-representative sampling, yes, but the moral of the manufacturing story does hold up, that politics and trade policy and the way the global economy's been changing the past couple of decades plays out differently depending on which slice of manufacturing you're in. And as we're seeing just today with the steel and aluminum tariffs, none of that happens in isolation. We've got pictures and more from each of the three factories we visited to report these stories. They are at marketplace.org. Also, if you missed parts one and two of our manufacturing trilogy, you can catch them on the Marketplace podcast.